Hey there. I want to take a moment to recommend another podcast called Scorned Love Kills. On Scorned Love Kills, the podcast from ID, find out what happens when lust and obsession turn deadly. With direct audio from the hit TV show, uncover true and unexpected stories about love gone wrong, like how a husband from South Carolina gets carried away with his underground gambling business, leading to debt and infidelity, and ending in violence. In each episode, hear from reporters, law enforcement, and psychologists close to each crime as they investigate the dark side of love. If you're into the kind of stories we cover here, betrayal, obsession, secrets, and the chilling aftermath, you're going to be hooked on Scorned Love Kills. Shocking true stories about the dark side of love. Listen to Scorned Love Kills wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hey there. I want to take a moment to recommend another podcast called Scorned Love Kills. On Scorned Love Kills, the podcast from ID, find out what happens when lust and obsession turn deadly. With direct audio from the hit TV show, uncover true and unexpected stories about love gone wrong, like how a husband from South Carolina gets carried away with his underground gambling business, leading to debt and infidelity, and ending in violence. In each episode, hear from reporters, law enforcement, and psychologists close to each crime as they investigate the dark side of love. If you're into the kind of stories we cover here, betrayal, obsession, secrets, and the chilling aftermath, you're going to be hooked on Scorned Love Kills. Shocking true stories about the dark side of love. Listen to Scorned Love Kills wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, Spookies. Welcome to this spine-chilling episode of Avery After Dark. I'm your host, Avery Ross. Today, we're diving deep into the world of the supernatural. I'm bringing you six real-life ghost stories that'll make the hairs on the back of your neck stand up. From haunted houses, to doppelgangers, to eerie encounters in unexpected places. The true tales you're about to hear come from people who have experienced the unexplainable. Whether you're a skeptic or a believer, these stories will leave you questioning what might be lurking in the shadows. So grab a cozy blanket, dim the lights, and prepare to be haunted by the unknown. Our first story. This experience occurred in February of this year, so my memory is pretty clear in regards to detail. This past year was my senior year of college, and I was thrilled to be living with a friend of my sorority who I'm very close with. We'll call her Abby for clarity's sake. Abby and I weren't actually supposed to live in the apartment we ended up in. We were originally going to be living in a townhouse with two other girls, but they started so much drama a month before we were supposed to move in that we had to contact our landlord to find a different place within their company to live. Thankfully, we found a two-bedroom, one-bathroom basement apartment in a quiet area off campus. The first month was fine and without incident, but as the days went by, some strange things began to happen in the apartment. One morning, Abby woke up to find a kitchen cabinet open. She wasn't that concerned about it and figured that I had just forgotten to shut it the night before. The next morning, a different cabinet was open, and once again, she shrugged it off. However, I went home one weekend and she woke up to find every cabinet in the kitchen wide open and the sink running. Needless to say, Abby was scared and spent the night at her boyfriend's. 2 weeks later, we were watching TV and heard the bathroom door close. I tried to calm Abby down by saying the fan we kept in the bathroom blew it closed. However, when we went to bed, we thought we could hear someone walking around in our living room. There's no way someone broke into our apartment and hid the whole day, only to come out at night and screw around with us. I was home the whole day, and Abby was home from 11 in the morning on. That incident took place shortly before Christmas break, and all was calm in the apartment until February. Abby had gone home for the weekend, and I was home alone, relaxing on the couch, doing some homework. It was pretty late at night, so I turned on the TV for background noise and curled up on the couch to sleep. I woke up at 2:32 in the morning to see Abby walking through the front door, smiling, but not saying anything. I blinked, still groggy from sleep, and asked her if she was okay. She just looked at me and proceeded to take off her shoes and walk into the kitchen. Something about her didn't seem right. Like this girl looked like Abby and walked like her, but it wasn't her. I asked her again if she was okay, because it was so early in the morning for her to be coming home. Abby looked at me, smiled, and began washing something in the sink. Something inside of me felt a profound sense of dread, like I was in actual danger and needed to get away. As quickly as possible, I went to my room and locked my door. My roommate followed me because I heard someone tapping their finger against the door. Once, twice, three times, four times, five times. It wouldn't stop. I didn't say another word because it felt like if I did acknowledge her, it gave her more strength. I know that doesn't make much sense, but that was my instinct. I curled up beneath my blankets and stared at my bedroom door, almost waiting for her to kick it in. My eyes felt heavy, and the tapping was almost like a metronome, enticing me to sleep. As I drifted back to sleep, the tap seemed to slow down to a trickle. The morning after, I was exhausted, but I remembered everything that happened last night. Cautiously, I left my room and saw that Abby's bed hadn't been disturbed or slept in. I went to the living room and her shoes and purse weren't there. A cold feeling crept into my spine as I sent her a text message asking if she had come home that night. She responded, no, she hadn't and wouldn't be coming home for another 2 days. But I checked the sink and the bowl that quote-unquote Abby had been washing, had been cleaned, and put away. I firmly believe I was not dreaming or hallucinating, and I know this wasn't some elaborate prank by Abby, because she would never do something like that. I firmly believe something took the shape of Abby that night, and that its intentions were not good. There were a few other experiences in that apartment, but nothing so dramatic as what I went through that night. I thought it was worth sharing to get everyone's thoughts on it. Was this a doppelganger? Encounters with doppelgangers or mimics are some of the scariest stories you'll ever hear. Many believe that doppelgangers are spirits taking on the forms of loved ones solely to cause mischief. That's really creepy. There is something so disturbing about an entity taking on the form of a friend or family member. If you've ever had any experiences with doppelgangers, let me know. I'm always really interested to hear your take. What do you think they are? Spirits? Ghosts? Demonic? Now, our next story. I'm a psychiatric nurse, and early in my career, I worked at a residential mental health facility. One of our residents was an elective mute, which means that he didn't, wouldn't, couldn't talk. But there were no medical reasons as to why. He had spoken earlier in his life and in fact seemed quite normal back then, with the exception of being close to 7 feet tall. He'd been raised in the Deep South and joined the military when he was 19. But one night, he vanished. He was declared AWOL and eventually declared missing and dead. 10 years later, a 7-foot-tall man walked into a VA hospital emergency room in my part of the Midwest and said to the receptionist, "My name is Marianne Duchesne, and I've been dead for 10 years." Those were the last words he ever spoke. He was covered with dust, and he was wearing the same clothes he'd been reported to be wearing the night he vanished. His social security number had not been used, and he had no identification on his person. However, they were able to identify him, I guess via fingerprints. The family was notified, but they said they had already grieved their lost man and that whomever was claiming to be him simply could not be. They demanded not to be contacted again. Marianne paced all day, every day, moving his mouth that looked like talking or muttering, but no sound came out. He had an unnerving habit of throwing his head back with his mouth wide open, as if he were laughing heartily, but not even a breath could be heard. If I talked to him, he appeared to listen, periodically throwing his head back in that laughter-mimicking way of his. Various medications were tried, but they did not affect him either positively or negatively. Occupational therapy did nothing, because Marianne would just grin, and unless told to stay put, he'd get up and start pacing again. On my last day at the job, the last thing I saw was Marianne pacing in the parking lot, throwing his head back to laugh. Later, I wondered if all along I'd been dealing with a ghost. All these years later, I still don't know. What do you think? Was Marianne a ghost? There's something about that story that just sends a chill up my spine. Hey there. I want to take a moment to recommend another podcast called Scorned Love Kills. On Scorned Love Kills, the podcast from ID, find out what happens when lust and obsession turn deadly. With direct audio from the hit TV show, uncover true and unexpected stories about love gone wrong, like how a husband from South Carolina gets carried away with his underground gambling business, leading to debt and infidelity and ending in violence. In each episode, hear from reporters, law enforcement, and psychologists close to each crime as they investigate the dark side of love. If you're into the kind of stories we cover here, betrayal, obsession, secrets, and the chilling aftermath, you are going to be hooked on Scorned Love Kills. Shocking true stories about the dark side of love. Listen to Scorned Love Kills wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Now, our next story. This is The Stop. I was driving across country with my mom and my sister when I was 16 and my sister was 20. It was late, but we were well rested and still alert. We were driving along an interstate and needed gas and a bathroom break, so we stopped at the only rest stop in 200 miles. There was a van full of teenagers on a road trip at the gas station, as well as a small gray car parked at the pump in front of us, with two young men standing still outside of it. When we got there, everything felt wrong. We'd been on the road for days and seen many rest stops at night, and had never been afraid until now. My mom and sister went inside and I stayed in the car. I heard the teenagers say they were creeped out and couldn't get the pump to work, and they left in a hurry. I was watching the car in front of us, and the two men had not moved at all, not an inch. They weren't talking. They weren't on phones. They were just standing there, still as stone. My mom and sister came running back out to the car, and when they got in, the two men slowly turned to look at us, while not moving or pivoting the rest of their bodies. And I swear, we all saw the same thing. They had eyes dark as pitch and empty, truly empty. Not black, not reflecting any light at all, just a void. We sped out of there and didn't stop until we were in the next city. The worst thing about the entire experience, we couldn't find the place on any map. We knew exactly which spot on the interstate to look, and we couldn't find it on Google Maps or any paper map we had. We even asked locals about the creepy gas station on that stretch of road and got only confused looks. We've traveled on that interstate since, and there is no rest stop. Every time I'm on a road trip, I think of stories like this, because there have been countless people that have come forward to say they've rolled into towns only to find out the towns don't exist. It gives a whole new meaning to the term ghost town, because what is going on there? Now, our next story. Being in the logical corporate world, there's hardly any space for ghost stories and theories. However, this one, I can't ignore. I, a 27-year-old male, work as an operations manager for a multi-service company. I work on the 17th floor of a massive high-rise office building in the middle of town. Most days, I waste away with my spreadsheets and inventory passing the day in front of my computer. Other days, I actually visit my sites and talk to my staff. The building I'm in has staff of mine in it, but only four of them, so I rarely see them as they are generally on other floors, hard at work. Only after 2 weeks of being with the company did I realize that three floors of the building have no tenants. Just empty, dark rooms with thin walls and dark blue carpets. And each floor has three bathrooms, which we service only once a month if there are no tenants on the floors. All seemed normal until one day, my elevator ride from my office floor to the ground was unintentionally stopped on one of the empty floors. I poked my head out of the elevator, thinking there was someone getting on, only to notice we had stopped on floor 14, the uninhabited floor. My body went cold as I stared into the empty hallway, noticing nobody around. I crept back into the elevator and looked at the buttons to see if I had accidentally pressed it. Nothing. The only floor glowing was the ground floor. Strange. I pressed the closed doors button, but the elevator wouldn't close. I began to panic. I stepped out of the elevator and pressed the outside button, hoping another elevator would show up. I stood quiet for a moment and watched as the elevator I had just exited starting to close, and I was just not quick enough to grab the doors. There I stood, alone in the dark, next to the empty office, the eerie sound of the wind blowing against the building. I bolted for the fire escape stairs when I heard it, the chilling sound of a bathroom stall door closing in the female toilets. I stopped for a moment and turned to face the bathroom. The door was slightly ajar, and the wind was blowing through it. I was immediately horrified. You see, the door is one of those that close on its own, so someone had to be holding it open from the inside. I panicked and ran out the fire escape doors, down the stairs, all the way to the ground. In a huff, I ran to security to go back up to the floor and check out the bathroom. The security thought I had gone mad, as the floor was empty, and just assumed someone from another office had come down for a more private bathroom break. We got to the floor and walked all around. Nobody in the women's bathroom. Nobody in the men's. Who could it have been? I asked. Security said they would check the tapes and get back to me. What really creeped me out is that all the stall doors were locked. Maintenance hasn't unlocked them, as there are no tenants. A few days had passed, and I had completely forgotten about the experience. Back to normal programming of sitting behind a desk and focusing on the logical process of my day-to-day. A late Friday afternoon, I get a knock on my door from three of security asking me to confirm my story from a couple days ago. I explained myself again and told them what I had seen, and they stared at each other in a rather weird manner. I asked them what was going on, and they explained to me the following. nobody came to the floor. The security footage didn't catch anyone on the floor, not even me. I stood in silence. "Sir, are you sure it was floor 14? I was certain of it. Each floor had a sign. They assured me. They checked each floor to see where I had popped up, but nothing. Here's where it gets even more intense. There are tapes of me walking out of the elevator on the ground floor, normal and mundane. I asked security for the footage myself, and that's when I saw it. On the top right corner of the camera facing the doors of the office on floor 14, the face of a woman. I know she's there, and she knows I exist. I've lost a ton of weight in the last 2 months, as I no longer take the elevators." Having a paranormal experience while on the job is a completely different ballgame. I still say living in a haunted house or apartment would be much worse, but working in a place that's haunted, that would be up there. Very creepy. Hey there. I want to take a moment to recommend another podcast called Scorned Love Kills. On Scorned Love Kills, the podcast from ID, find out what happens when lust and obsession turn deadly. With direct audio from the hit TV show, uncover true and unexpected stories about love gone wrong, like how a husband from South Carolina gets carried away with his underground gambling business, leading to debt and infidelity, and ending in violence. In each episode, hear from reporters, law enforcement, and psychologists close to each crime as they investigate the dark side of love. If you're into the kind of stories we cover here, betrayal, obsession, secrets, and the chilling aftermath, you're going to be hooked on Scorned Love Kills. Shocking true stories about the dark side of love. Listen to Scorned Love Kills wherever you get your podcasts. Now, our next story. This is one of the creepiest Reddit stories I have ever heard. This happened to me a few years ago, around late December of 2020. I was 19 at the time. Me and my girlfriend were at my grandparents' place, having a couple drinks out in the garage until it got too cold to stay out there. It was one of the coldest nights of the year, and there was a bad blizzard that night. We live in Canada, by the way. We both went back to the house around 2 a.m., She went into my room and I went into the kitchen to cook us something in the oven. I was on my phone, standing alone out in the kitchen, when my grandma and my girlfriend both walked out into the kitchen together. It was a bit strange because my grandma never stayed up that late, and it was even stranger that my girlfriend came out at the same time. The first thing my grandma said to me is, "Don't go back out there tonight. On a night like this, people lose their lives." I was a little bit freaked out because I was just about to head back out to the garage to grab something. I never told anyone I was going back out. My girlfriend and my grandma just stood there, staring at me, with the weirdest expressions I've ever seen. Very unnatural smiles that didn't seem right. My girlfriend then walked over and gave me a hug. When I grabbed her, she was ice cold. I commented about this, and when I mentioned how cold she was, her expression changed. Her smile faded, and she looked up at me with really serious, sad eyes, and didn't say anything. There was something else I noticed, too. She smelt like a campfire, an earthy, smoky smell. There wasn't an explanation for this, and she didn't smell like that earlier. I swear at that moment I got chills all over. There was something so off about it all, but I couldn't put my finger on it. My girlfriend whispered in my ear, "Don't go outside tonight." She walked back over to my grandma, standing beside her, with her head down and a serious expression while my grandma was still staring at me, with that weird fake smile. It was so bizarre, I just stood there, speechless. The wind began to literally howl outside. My grandma turned and looked at my girlfriend and said, "Don't mess with black magic. Nothing good is gonna come from it." My girlfriend didn't say anything. She continued looking down. I stood there confused. My girlfriend looked up at me and said, "We have to go now." They both started walking away. My grandma turned to look back at me for a second. "See you on the flip side," she said with that weird smile. I got another chill through my body when she said that. They turned the corner and left the kitchen. I stood there for a while. I didn't know what to make of it all. I decided not to go out to the garage. I'd go and get my stuff the next morning. I stayed in the kitchen for another 10 minutes until the food was done. I went back into my room with it, and my girlfriend was in bed laying down. She got up, and we put on a movie. I guess I was quiet because she asked me, "What's wrong?" I told her everything was okay. It took me 10 minutes to say something about it, because, to be honest, I was still frightened by it. I turned to her and asked why her and my grandma came out to the kitchen. The second I said that, my nose started bleeding. I ran to the bathroom and got something to stop it. When I went back in the room, I told my girlfriend everything. As you can guess, she said she never went out to the kitchen and swore on someone's life she was in the room the whole time. She also didn't smell like smoke anymore. We went and woke up my grandma right after, and my grandma said the same thing. She actually thought we were trying to mess with her, and she didn't believe me. We were so freaked out after this, we had trouble sleeping for the rest of the night. The part that really messed my girlfriend up was when I told her about how cold she felt and how she smelled like smoke. The only explanation we could come up with was that maybe if I went outside that night, something bad would have happened to me. Maybe the spirits of dead relatives watching over me came to me in that form so I wouldn't be scared and they could get the message through. The last part of it that made sense was the part about the black magic. My girlfriend had just got a book about witchcraft from a friend the week prior. She never opened the book again after this. She took what was said as a warning. I've been thinking about writing this story down the past 2 years, and my girlfriend encouraged me to finally do it, because maybe someone else out there has had an experience like this. To this day, I still get chills thinking about it, especially the last thing said. See you on the flip side. It's said that seeing a doppelganger of a loved one could mean there's danger ahead. Very mysterious, and makes you wonder what would have happened if he would have gone outside that night. Spooky. Now, our next story. When I was 13, I babysat a little girl named Emma, one of the sweetest kids you could think of. I was a regular babysitter for her so much that when I couldn't babysit for a few months, she called all her other babysitters by my name. This happened after I came back to be a regular babysitter for her. It was about 10:30 at night. I had already put Emma to bed and had been channel surfing. The house was set up that the front half was open concept. The living room, the dining room, and the kitchen were side by side, and between the living room and dining room, there was an open doorway to the back half of the house. At one end was Emma's room, and the other end was her parents' bedroom, with the bathroom connected to the parents' room. Now, while sitting on the couch, I heard something run down the hall to the bathroom. Assuming it was just Emma going to the restroom, I let it be. A few minutes went by, and I heard the feet running back down the hall. I turned to tell her to go back and make sure she flushed, as I hadn't heard it, but I only saw the tips of black hair that had ran past the open doorway. Here's the problem. Emma is blonde. I quickly jumped up and rushed to Emma's bedroom, throwing open the door, her nightlight bright enough to make her out as she sat up and looked at me, rubbing her eyes in confusion. I asked her if she had went to the bathroom. When she shook her head no, I did a once-over of her room, checking under her bed and did a quick peek in her closet. I didn't see anything, and I just told Emma I was double-checking for monsters. I tucked Emma back in, saying goodnight, and as I walked out of her room, I turned to walk away, but stopped when I heard Emma speak. Thinking she was going to ask me something, I turned to listen, only to hear her say, "You should have said something. Don't scare her. I really like her." I didn't say anything to the mom about it, and continued to babysit Emma until they moved away. I always made an effort after that to include the being. If Emma was drawing, an extra spot was set up. It seemed to make Emma happy, and nothing ever startled me again. Babysitting for a kid and a ghost? I hope she got a raise. Because, come on. Which story was your favorite? Which one spooked you the most? Let me know in the comments. Thanks so much for sharing Avery After Dark with your friends and family. Next episode, I've got so much more coming your way. Until then, I'm Avery Ross, and this is Avery After Dark.